Well, is your pardon signed?
Amen.
Are you glad it's signed?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you're just forgiven and it's okay between you and God?
Amen.
What a terrible shame if somebody didn't know how to do that. What a terrible shame. In John chapter 1, I tried to get out of preaching this because we heard a lot of it Wednesday night. Brother Ben brought a good message on witnessing. And I said, well, should I just preach the same thing again? Well, see, I've always had a statement that if in preachers' meetings, and you know how preachers get up one after another, and oftentimes, very often, it seems to find, whether assigned or not, there seems to find a theme in the preaching where one goes right and flows with the next. And I've said, well, if I'm scheduled to preach and the preacher in front of me uses my text and preaches my outline, apparently somebody needs to hear it twice. So I'm going to do it anyway. Well, I had this message prepared and I started refreshing it tonight or this afternoon. And Lord, are you sure? Well, when you're in doubt what to preach, what does our pastor say to preach? Preach the next verse. Okay, well, it already left me instructions from Arizona. I don't want him coming back and getting me, so here we are. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear... I'm sorry, verse 7. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. Father, help me now to get my thoughts together. I thank you for those who are here. Thank you that my family's here. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for the great privilege of bearing witness to your Holy Son who signed my pardon, that one day soon I'll stand before you guiltless, not because of my life, it brings you shame and sin to me, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for those who came before us to warn us, to tell us. Oh God, may you lay on our hearts to follow suit, to step up to the course that you've laid out for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you haven't met my grandsons, three of the four of them are here tonight. Great grandsons. Better quit that. Some of my grandsons are here and granddaughters. Three of my great-grandsons, Easton, for some reason they locked him over in the nursery. He's 19 months old, and he likes Pawpaw's preaching. I've got a video of him liking it this morning. On live stream, he got excited. Did he? All right. He likes my Bible. And I love that.
Amen.
His little brother, for a little while, is Caden. Easton was a big boy. Caden, I think, is going to pass him. He's here. And then you can't see one. They're calling him Wilson for right. Walker for right. It really doesn't matter. I think they're going to end up naming him Melvin. Don't do that. But my, what an honor to get to preach to them and to you. Now, One of the things this COVID thing has done is provided an easy excuse for those of us who are lazy Christians to not reach out to the lost around us. And I've fallen guilty to it. And probably most of you have too. That is not the plan of God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is not the author of the book. The Apostle John here is speaking of John the Baptist. The Apostle John never refers to himself by name. He calls himself that one, that disciple whom Jesus loved. What a relationship. What a sweet thought. But here he gives another John, John the Baptist, who was sent from God. I believe with all my heart, God wants to send people to be a witness for Him. A man to bear witness of the light, it says in verse 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. The light of the world is Jesus, isn't He? I have on my back window of my old car still from Christmas time. I decorated it for Christmas, and in Stratford Parade it was, what was it, light up or something anyway about lights. So I put lights all over my old car, and I put the light of the world is Jesus. You know why? I said that because the light of the world is Jesus. And we need to be sharing that with those we come in contact with those we live beside, those we work with, those that we meet at the grocery store. Listen, how many of you have talked to somebody about Kansas City going to go to the Super Bowl? If you can talk about something like that, you can surely tell somebody about Jesus. How many of you talked about the Cardinals trades they made this week? If you can talk about the Cardinal trade, you can surely talk about Jesus. My, that got quieter. Some of you have been doing that, haven't you? Listen, of all the things that we need emphasis on, I believe those of us who are saved, we need to get back to sharing the gospel. We truly do. John makes it clear that this other John was not the light. And, you know, I think when we go witnessing, we need to be careful to understand we're not going to save somebody. All we can do is lead them to the light. And I understand having a burden for your loved ones, your family, your friends. You have, and you say, I've just done everything I can. It's not your job. It's His job to convict hearts. It's His job to save souls. We're just to bear witness of Him. It's not our job to save anybody. We are to be witnesses. We are to be the light. John the Baptist's purpose in bearing witness of the light was that all might believe. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That's our job, folks. That's our job. It's the same reason John the Apostle wrote this gospel. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, it says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That's what the Bible's for. That's what John was witnessing for. That's what John the Apostle was witnessing for. And that's what you and I are to be witnessing for, is to point people to Jesus Christ so that they can see He can be and wants to be and is capable of being their Savior. Amen. That's the purpose.
John wasn't the only person to ever do this. Others did it before he came. Jesus has always had a witness. Others have done it since he came. He's supposed to have a witness. You and I have that responsibility even today. But let's note some of those. Some of the forerunners of Christ who were the witnesses. Old Testament prophets. They foretold the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. 1 Peter 1:10-11 says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Jesus did not look forward to the cross, but he did look forward to what it was going to buy. And you know what it was going to buy? Your salvation and mine. And he was excited about that. The glory that should follow. That's why he went. Prophets in the Bible. The Ethiopian eunuch that Ben preached about. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," or Savior. Guess what? In this wicked, perverted mindset world that we live in, there's nothing wrong with proclaiming our God sent forth his son born of a virgin. That's a good... You know why? Because that makes him God. That makes him God. That makes him not conceived in sin. Guess what, fellas? We're the ones that pass on that old sin nature. When those sweet little bundles of joy that I mentioned earlier, or your sweet little bundles of joy, are pitching a fit at 3 o'clock in the morning, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with them other than they're tired of laying there and they want some attention. Guys, it's our fault. I can say this now. You ought to get up with them. "Preacher, did you get up with yours?" "Oh, it's just been so long, I'm sure I did." Nah. No. "A virgin conceived and brought forth a son and called his name Emmanuel," God with us. Isaiah 9:6-7 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God did it. He said, "I'm going to send my son and I can handle it." Isaiah 53 speaks of the suffering Jesus did for us. Verses 4-6, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. My friend, Jesus was to come. Now, this was written hundreds of years before Jesus came. He did come for our sins. Our iniquity was upon His shoulders, our sin. That's why Jesus came. And Isaiah the prophet was saying, hey, we need a Savior. John the Baptist said, hey, we need a Savior. And tonight, let me tell you, we need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Preached this morning about Jesus being eternal past. He's from the everlasting eternity past. And there's guy on my mind. I was witnessing to this fella. And he said, all that stuff in the Bible, it's all set up. Jesus just did that because the Bible said he had to. Yeah! He did fulfill all the law and the prophets. But he was only able to because he's God. There's been more than 300 prophecies, it's been estimated, in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled. The prophets knew he was coming because they were inspired by God, and God sent him to fulfill the word. Jesus reminded his disciples of this truth. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, I would have liked to have been there and watched, but I don't think I would have liked to have been them. As they were walking along all down in the mouth, and he came and caught up with them, his step was quicker and he acted like he was going to pass them by, and then he began to talk to them. Well, what's the matter? Don't you know what happened? I think he had a hint, don't you? How that Jesus was crucified. We had hoped that he was the Messiah, and he was crucified. And now 3 days later, they say he rose from the grave, and we don't know what to think. You know, a lot of times in our lives, things just come upon us, and we get so overwhelmed, we don't know what to do. I am getting less and less political because I'm overwhelmed. Preacher, are you going to preach on politics? I don't even know how to preach on politics. I'm whelmed. And that's kind of how these guys were feeling. They were walking along. But aren't you glad when we're whelmed and we don't know what to do and we don't know how to handle things? We have a Savior that does. And man, he came to them personally. And when they said this, in Luke 24:25, it says, then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They got a Bible lesson. What a Bible lesson it was. And every bit of it was right because he is right. He's God. The apostles in Jerusalem were witnesses to him. And the Old Testament prophets witnessed to the apostles. He said unto them in Luke 24:44. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Notice there Jesus put the emphasis upon repentance, and we don't have the authority to skip over it. In our witnessing, and we should be witnessing more than we do, we need to be careful to not smooth people into heaven. It's not a slick sales job where they have to make an abrupt no. It's easier to say yeah, and smooth you right in. That's salesmanship. A good salesman will never cause you to have a major decision. He makes let you have a lot of little steps, and all of a sudden, kaboom, you're signed up for 72 months. That's salesmanship. We don't need salesmanship. We just need to be witnesses. Hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Sometimes Jesus gets a little rough. Those two old boys on the road to Emmaus, how did he open up to them? Oh, sweetie. Fools, listen up! And listen, sometimes God gets hard with us, and it's okay if we love Him, because He loves us. And we need to listen to the Word, just like the apostles needed to listen to the Word. Then comes our text tonight, John the Baptist. He was foretold by Isaiah. They knew John was coming. Isn't it neat how they had such insight into things? It was called the inspiration of the Word of God. It was the Holy Ghost inspiration that they wrote in the Word of God. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That's who John the Baptist was. He was a witness to prepare people to meet Jesus. It's also talked about in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Listen, John was a faithful witness. And because he was a faithful witness, he was faithful to do what God called him to do. Jesus thought highly of him. How highly? There's never been a man born of woman any greater than John. If you want to be thought well of in God's eyes, be a faithful witness. Do what Jesus told us to do. That's what we're to do. We're to be faithful witnesses. He declared Jesus. He declared Him to be the Lamb of God. Here in our text, in verse 29, it says, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. On down a few verses, getting away from my notes, but it's okay. I'll get 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Now listen, if John was trying to build his cult, he was going about it all wrong. Because you know what happened when he told these folks about the Lamb of God and the Son of God? They forsook him and followed Jesus. Now, if you're trying to build a little kingdom of your own, don't get God involved, because they'll want to follow Jesus instead of you.
Amen.
And John said, He must increase, but I must decrease. John was a forceful fella. John was a leader. John was faithful to his calling, and his idea was, forget about me, remember him. Remember Jesus, the Lamb of God. The Father of Christ bore witness of Jesus Christ through signs, the miracles that Jesus did. You know why he did those? As a sign that the Father had sent him. What did the world do? They attributed it to the devil when he cast out demons and so forth. No, the devil doesn't cast out the devil. He gives more of him to us. Jesus defeats the devil. He bare witness that Jesus was the Son of God through his voice from heaven. At the baptism of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Wouldn't that be something if God could say that of you? I'm pleased with what this person's doing. You know how to do that? Be a witness for Jesus. He liked Jesus. He liked John for being a witness of Jesus. He wants you. It pleases God when you are a witness for Jesus. At the Mount of Transfiguration, he redirected the apostles' attention to Jesus. In Matthew 17:5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Well, what had happened? Peter and James and John had gone up with Jesus, and they saw the heavens open, and saw the great prophets of the past, and Peter was going to build a shrine, one to Isaiah and one to Elijah. One, two. Come on. Moses, Elijah, and then even Jesus. And got in trouble for the idea. See, we don't need to be building monuments to men. Now, I appreciate when folks honor preachers of the past, servants of the past. But brother, we better not make it temples to worship. Let's keep Jesus to the forefront. Amen. And that's when they got in trouble, and God says, "Whoa, hold on a minute. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him." The Father bore witness. The greatest witness was when he raised Jesus from the dead. When he raised Jesus from the dead, declaring Jesus to be the Son of God with power. It says, Romans 1, 3 and 4, "Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." Only God can raise the dead. Only God can do that. And he did it with Jesus Christ to declare, "This is my Son." He's the one to get glory. He's the one we're to be witnesses of. He declared Jesus to be the one who will judge the world. In Acts 17, 30 and 31, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. When the Father raised Jesus from the dead, He was seen by select witnesses to give testimony of the fact of this is the great miracle of God that's never happened like this. Jesus, 3 days and nights in the grave, is alive. Why did He do that? Proof positive that we have a Savior. That we could have a Savior. And because of that, the followers of Christ have been witnesses unto Him even to today. The apostles, we've touched on that a good bit. The disciples of Christ, how did they witness Christ? Well, of course, in Jerusalem upon the persecution, they went everywhere. Except the apostles, everyone else scattered abroad preaching the gospel. But how did they do it? The first thing they did is they were in unity. I don't believe anything causes greater harm to the cause of Christ than Christian fussing. It's bad enough on Facebook. It's terrible on Twitter. But what an outcry of shame it is in His church. God wants His children to be in unity concerning Jesus Christ. My, how He loves. Well, preacher, aren't you on Facebook? Yes, I am. Aren't you on Twitter? No, I'm not. Oh, so you've taken a stand? No, I just... One's enough. I waste too much time on that one. Amen. But I don't get on arguing with folks on Facebook. Nor do I don't get real political on Facebook. If you want to sit down and talk about serious matters, let's sit down and talk. I don't like to text about serious matters. I like us to be one-on-one. And you know what else? Although I tell people about Jesus on Facebook or in text, I really prefer, let's sit down and pray about it and see if you can come to know my Savior. Amen?
Yes, sir.
We need to be His witnesses. He's called us. He wants us in unity. The disciples were in unity. They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Then, not only did their unity show forth Jesus Christ, their transformed lives showed forth Jesus Christ. Of course, the most notable example of that is who? The Apostle Paul. One who once persecuted the church became the great advocate of Jesus Christ in building the church. That was a turnaround, wasn't it? And you know what his critics said? He's nuts. He's mad. He doesn't have gone off the rocker. No. He got on the right track. He found Jesus Christ. People, if you give your heart and life to God, the world won't understand it, but they'll notice it. And sometimes they will accept it and appreciate it and even want to know what you got. And sometimes they'll make fun of you and reject it and say, he was always a little crazy. Anyway, that's what they said about me. They were right. But in fact, our lives are a very strong witness for Jesus Christ. Good or bad. I worked with a fella. We played on a ball team together. And after the game, one of the other guys came up to him and said, here, you had a tough game. Let me buy you a beer. And he said, oh, no, no, no. And the other guy said to him, to his face, oh, yeah, that's right. You're a Christian this week, aren't you? What a shame. What an embarrassment to the cause of Christ. Not that he was trying to serve God this week, but that he had denied God the week before or whenever it was. Can people see that you are a Christian this week and last week and the week before? Let me tell you something, folks. We live in hillbilly land, southern Missouri, and I can say that because I am one of us. And I say it proudly. But there are folks who are still watching you to see if it's real. Well, preacher, I've been saved 10 years. They're still watching you. Or 20 years, or 40 years, or however many. And they're watching to see if it's real in you. And I guarantee you, it takes you longer to build a testimony for Jesus Christ than it does to tear it down. You can tear down your testimony with a quick, ugly word, an off-colored remark that brings shame to Jesus Christ. And what a shame if it causes someone else to not be saved. Because you know what the option is if they're not saved, don't you? They go to hell. And that can be or it can be an unkind word, or it can be a dirty word, or a dirty action. A fella I had done business with for a few years, I found out last week he passed away. Hadn't been in business with him. Fortunately, he was a serviceman, and I'm glad I hadn't had to have business with him lately. But when I found out he was dead, I spent some time in reflection. Had I been a witness to him, I talked to him and talked to him about the Lord. Had I been the kind of customer that he would believe that I had a Savior? And I think we ought to evaluate ourselves on things like that. If we're going to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, if we're going to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that we're going to be before Him time-wise like John was, but we can be before Him a forerunner to those who don't know Him yet. And it's a great peace of mind when you can say, yeah, I did this, this, and this, and that was right. And I could have done something else, and I didn't, and I'm glad. Amen? We need to evaluate our testimony honestly from time to time if we're going to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ. There are those in the past who have faithfully been witnesses for God. Are we going to be faithful witnesses in the future? Are we going to let others know about our Savior? God called us to. He called John to prepare the way of the Lord for this earthly past and heavenly. He's called you and I to prepare the way of the Lord for those who know Him not yet. To be witnesses by our lives, by our speech, and by the gospel. And He wants us to get after it today. So tonight, Christian friends, this has been to us. How faithful a witness are you being today in these unsettling times? Well, preacher, don't you know we could get arrested for that? What do you think would happen to Christians in Saul's day before Paul got saved? Hauled into prison? Even put to death? What do you think it's like in China? or in most of the Muslim countries. We still got it real well today. And if you have to wear a mask to knock on someone's door to tell them about Jesus Christ, put the sucker on. Not that big a deal. Let someone know that you love Jesus and you love them. And we need to do it now. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, I ask you to be with us tonight, Lord. I understand that Brother Ben Forster preached on witnessing.